Our morning show continues here on WRC Radio. Today, the Richland Area Farmers Market will be open from 1:30 until 5:30. They're at the old train depot, and there'll be a little bit of a new twist to it. Maybe he'll even play the twist. I don't know. But Remember with Randy will be there. And in fact, Randy Plunkett joins us. Randy, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Welcome to the airwaves. And will this be your first visit to Richland Center?
No, I've actually sung in a few of the senior centers and nursing homes out there last week, actually.
So you play quite often?
I do. We moved here in February. No one moves to Wisconsin in February except for one word, and that's grandkids.
Oh.
I lived in Missouri for several years. I was in the Air Force for 24 years, and now I'm playing at senior centers and assisted livings and independent livings all over southwestern Wisconsin and up into the Madison area and all the way out to Sun Prairie and McFarland.
You've been playing music a long time, I understand.
50 years, yes. I fell in love at night when I was 13 years old with Heart and Soul by the Cleftones, and my mom always said, you were born 20 years too late. So I started singing in a band and a group at 16, and along the way with many other jobs, I've always been a crooner singing 50s and 60s music. And just love it and love entertaining, especially senior citizens, to help bring back great memories from great music.
So you're always kind of drawn to the music of an earlier era, then, it sounds like.
I was, absolutely, yes. Even though I was a child of the 70s and had to sing some of those things in high school. But mainly, we would play teacher reunions. We'd play 20, 25, 30-year reunions. And I started learning some 40s music because those folks had more money. So I've been singing crooners and big bands and doo-wop and love the early 60s pre-Beatles songs that helped us to find love, fall in love, fall out of love, and find new love.
Indeed, and I think that era of music, Randy, it's a lot more melodic, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. I mean, musicians are talented in many, many different genres and many different levels, but I feel like those songs of the 50s were every person's songs. Many of them, like Jimmy Clanton's Venus in Blue Jeans, was written in his 11th grade math class. So those kind of thoughts and those kind of histories, and then what gets woven into the music, really touches a lot of people across a wide variety of cultures and of settings, and whether it's urban, suburban, rural. So that's why I think it has such great appeal, and they're timeless.
And you throw in a few jokes from time to time, I understand?
I do. My jokes are worse than bad jokes. They're grandpa jokes, like why do men make the best pediatricians? Because men naturally have little patience. That doesn't work if you text it to anybody. But so I do. I talk about some of the stories with the songs. For example, Buddy Holly, Every Day. That's actually the guy playing his leg, not a drum. And I talk about the history of that and those kinds of things. So really, it's a good time for everybody.
Do you have a record collection?
I do have a record collection, but it's all now in digital music. I have a few 45s. Love the work of Frank Ifield, whose biggest hit in the U.S. was I Remember You, and my wife likes his songs, so we have a couple of his songs. But I really unloaded those 45s and 78s and CDs along the way, and then DVDs, and tried to go electronic. I'm in big trouble, though, if the net ever goes out.
You should have called me because I'm still buying all that stuff. But
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's great.
Oh, I love to collect that stuff. But something about those old 45s and all of those unique record labels that we grew up with, wasn't it?
I know. And you wonder how some of those places, you know, they had one or two artists who had fantastic hits, and that just paved the way for everybody else who didn't have quite a few hits. I just wonder how all those labels stayed in business. But you know, they were all independent, and they were driving around and hawking the records, and the groups and the singers were going around and singing wherever they can. And that's kind of what I do. I sing a lot of places for free. I sing places for tips, because to me, it's about the music.
Indeed. Just getting out there, have you sung at a lot of farmers markets before?
Growing up in Pennsylvania, I was in a community. There were eight communities in my high school, so yeah, I have. Kind of like the old hay rides, those kinds of things. But to your point, I'm just getting started here in Wisconsin, and I know this music appeals to folks at farmers markets and at fests and at cruise-ins. And then, of course, the places where our wonderful seasoned citizens live in. So I'm willing to go anywhere. If I can bring a smile to somebody's face and a great memory to their heart, that's what it's all about.
What is the most unique location that you've ever performed in, Randy?
3 o'clock in the morning, I've sung the national anthem about 200 times in uniform. As I said, I was in the Air Force for 24 years. So 3 a.m. at a unit deployment. And I'm actually getting ready to sing at the Badger Honor Flight coming in September, where we take seasoned veterans into D.C., and that's at 5 a.m., but I'm happy to do it.
That's amazing, and I know we've broadcast some of the promotions. We've even had some of the veterans on that go on that flight. How do you not get emotional when you're singing to them?
I tell you, it's not easy, and I will tell you a quick secret about the national anthem, and that is if you sing it as written, you take the attention off yourself and you put it on the flag and the audience sings with you. I tell you, one of the highlights of my life was singing the national anthem for a NASCAR race and watching thousands of people look at the flag and sing. To me, that's the most important way to communicate our nation's song.
Yeah, if you're an entertainer and you're taking, musical liberty, you're kind of changing the tune and things like that. It's harder for people to sing along with too, isn't it?
And not only that, it puts the attention on you. And I don't want a billion-dollar recording artist, like I actually heard sing, and the Rockets' Red Blair. Can you learn the words to our song? You have people who paint your fingernails. Cheat and write it down.
Yes, exactly. Or in this day and age, put it on your phone and look at it.
Absolutely. You know? Put it on your iPad if it needs to be bigger, because we all know print gets smaller as you get older.
It's a little easier to do. Yeah, absolutely. Did you perform while in the Air Force, Randy?
Yes, I did. I was a recruiter. Actually, I recruited in Milwaukee and Green Bay for 10 years, so I have a lot of cheese flowing through my veins, even though I'm a Pennsylvania farm boy. But in those times, I've sung at performing arts centers and stadiums, all kinds of different things, state fairs. I actually just asked to sing at the state fair this year on the Veterans and Military Appreciation Day coming up. August 13th. So I've done that. And to your point about being emotional, I think the most important point to me and why I learned this was that I was 18 years old singing the national anthem, and I had a World War One. Yes, it tells you how old I am. A World War One veteran come up to me and say, "That was the best job I've ever heard, son, because I didn't think of you once." So that really touched me. And I realized that people don't want an artistic rendition of this song. And when you think about the great sacrifices some of these folks have made to keep our country free, how can you not get emotional?
Indeed. I had the opportunity to talk to Joe of the Oak Ridge Boys, and they do a wonderful rendition. And that's exactly what he said. He said, "We just sing it straight through. We don't try to, go up and down with the lyrics or anything." And that's why it's so important.
Well, Joe's song about G.I. Joe and Lily just blows me away, because he wrote about his mom and dad, who were both World War II veterans. He talks about the love story. It's such a great song, but they have such wonderful music. And again, they appeal to a wide audience, from gospel to Elvira. Who can't love the Oak Ridge Boys?
Indeed. So how many songs do you know?
Well, I probably sing 75 artists, and I probably know, 100 songs, something like that. But most of the time I sing 20 minutes, take a little break. I'm not union, but I'm aspiring to be. Just kidding. I like to do a wide variety. I have a whole segment called Here Come the Bobbies. That's Bobby Rydell and Bobby Vinton and Bobby B and Bobby Darin. And I throw in Bobby Sherman. And so there's all kinds of folks out there who love all kinds of music. I sing some songs about the songs, like Who Put the Bomb in the Bomb Shoe Bomb Shoe Bomb. And then other songs like At the Hop talks about the dances from those days. So all important parts, in addition to that touchy-feely love stuff that we love, and sometimes unrequited love is sung about. So it's just a fascinating genre to me, and a motivation, really, to learn the songs and to communicate them well.
All those Bobbies that you mentioned, I like the repertoire of songs that all of those guys sang.
a wide variety from standards all the way up to, you know, I mean, and I think the most amazing individual right now is Dion DiMucci, because he's still singing. He had hits in 1957. He's still singing. And he had timeless classics like, you know, anybody here seen my old friend Abraham, Abraham, Martin, and John? Mm-hmm. And in addition to his early stuff, Teenager in Love and I Wonder Why. And then ironically, he was supposed to be on the airplane with Buddy Holly on the Winter Dance Party, and he turned them down so someone else could go. So he talks about that in his shows, about how that affected his heart and mind for many, many years.
I'll bet. When we perform at assisted living centers and nursing homes, a lot of times dementia patients, especially, they say that music is one of the last things that they, you know, remember. And I'm guessing you see that, don't you, when you're performing at some of those places?
I do, and I tell you, there's a great documentary about the great Glenn Campbell where his family talks about that. He can't remember where things are he laid down a half hour ago in his later stages. But he remembers all those lyrics and all those songs, and sometimes he would talk about situations where he was singing I Am a Lineman for the County and venues where he was performing. So there is this great therapeutic aspect of how music affects memory, and I just love that. I love how it helps folks come alive. When I was singing out there last week, I asked one lady who's there early, I said, when did you graduate high school? She said, 1939. And I thought, think about that. A lot of the people in this nursing home were born well after 1939, and yet she had the recollection and recall at 101, I believe, to remember all those things. She remembered the songs. I sang some 40 songs for her, and she recalled the bands and so forth. So it's really exciting to me to see folks come alive, and I just want to forget about life for a while and remember the good stuff of folks' history and their legacy.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And obviously, this isn't a get-rich-quick scheme for you, but seeing things like that, that's got to make you feel rich, doesn't it?
Absolutely. How do you put a price on that? You know, and that's why I think it's important to get out into the communities. You know, I love small towns, and I live in Arena, which is, you know, a very small town over here close to Spring Green. And that's my heritage and how I grew up, but I think sometimes you don't attract the big names because they want so much money. And, you know, we have amazing local performers in the Madison area, but some of them will not come out that way. And I'm willing to go anywhere. Sometimes I passed a car show here that just got set up in 3 weeks and stopped. And I said, I practice across the road there at the wayside. Can I sing here? We had a great time. So I'll be spontaneous if I get a chance to sing, not because I'm a blowbag, but I really want to be a blessing to other folks.
Remember with Randy is your site, and if somebody's listening to this, you'd love to sing for him, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Please give me a call. My number and contact info is on the website, as you said, rememberwithrandy.com. Same thing on Facebook. There's a lot of current performances, recent performances that are on there, and I'd love to hear from everybody and anybody.
And you'd love to see him in person today at the farmer's market, wouldn't you?
Come on down. You can't beat this place for the great food and the breads and just the hospitality. It's a great way to support your neighbors. And Ricky over there is amazing in managing that and attracting new folks to come and sell their wares. So come on down and eat and enjoy some tunes today.
I was going to say you might get hungry while you're singing looking at all that good food, though, right?
Well, if the food's going to go to waste, it might as well be mine.
Go right to your
waste. Grandpa
wasted.
Joke. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was a grandpa joke. I liked it, though. I'm a grandpa. I can relate. Well, it's great, Randy, getting caught up with you, and we appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and we hope a lot of folks will stop by and say hi to you today at the Richland Area Farmers Market.
Well, hopefully your show's done by then, so come on out and say hi.
Yes, absolutely. 1:30 to 5:30 today. Randy, good luck to you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you much.
You bet. You can check out more, Remember with Randy, and Randy Plunkett will be today at the Richland Area Farmers Market right here in Richland Center. This is The Morning Show.